For your loving care for your loving care, and that you're always there. Lord, I raise my hands to you, raising my hands to you, overwhelmed with gratitude for the chance. Your loving care, and that
play this song, can each one of us raise our hands? Don't we have a reason here today to raise our hands and be thankful for what God's done in each and every one of our lives? He died on the cross. He stretched out his arms and died for us. The least I can do today is raise my hands in gratitude that he gave his life so we can feel the Spirit today. We didn't come here just to visit. We came to visit with our Lord and Savior to worship him. And I know each and every one of us can use a touch from God, a strength from our with our Holy Ghost. We're so grateful to be in this place, hear the truths that Brother Smith is teaching us this morning. We're so grateful to have this opportunity. We can be out on the streets today. We can be on drugs. We can just be sitting at home, but God's touched our lives, and he's given us this chance to be here today. Let's worship him. He's worthy to be praised today. Oh, God.
Hey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate his love and care, don't you? Man, I appreciate his love and care. Appreciate him thinking about me. I don't know what transpired in God's mind that he would call me to the body of Christ and let me see his people, fill me with the wonderful Holy Ghost, delivered me from drugs and alcohol, saved me from prison. Yes, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. I was riding down the road the other day and just began to thank God for keeping his hand on me. I appreciate the Lord and his love and care. I can't read the Bible without seeing a place where he cares for me. Several years ago, I was reading a health and benefit plan that General Electric would give us every 3 years. Enriched, increased benefits. That's what the book was all about. And the word benefit stood out in my mind. So I laid the book down, grabbed my Bible, looked in the concordance, Psalms 103, first 5 verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his wonderful benefits. And I began to read on about his wonderful benefits. I don't think I ever finished reading General Electric's benefit package. I got so caught away, Brother Ty, and what God has. I appreciate God. I appreciate him letting me see what I see, letting me feel what I feel. You just can't replace God's love. The world don't know what they're missing, do they? I'm glad he laid his hands on me. I'm glad he stopped me. But most of all, I'm glad I responded. I'm glad I said, yes, Lord. You know, I'm here today because I surrendered. I was running from God. There's a warrant out for my arrest. I'm glad he laid his hand on me. I'm glad he stopped me. But there's something going on in my heart that I want to go with God. I've had a lot of tests and trials this year. Been in depression. You name it. Been back and forth to the doctor. And I know God has told me some of my problems. I worry a lot. But God is helping me. And I'm determined to love God in spite of what's happening because of his love for me. I can't get away from the love of God. He didn't have to lay his hands on me. Brother Smith, last Sunday in Bible study, you were talking about Mohammedism and Muslims. And when God began to deal with my life, I don't remember the day and time, but there was a time in my life, Brother Smith, when I had a cousin that was a part of that group, and he was already following Louis Farrakhan. They called themselves in those days Black Muslims. And I tried to join that. I endeavored hard to get involved in it. Went to some of their meetings. And I tried to really get into it. But God was, I don't know if you say kind enough, good enough, in my ungodly ways, to give me a dream. And it wasn't a disturbing dream, but it got my attention to stay away from those people. Can you imagine what I would have turned out to be if God hadn't touched me, God hadn't have given me a dream? I'd be in bad shape. A few years later, a young man came to work on my job, and I saw the results of what I would have been had God not touched me and gave me a dream to stay away from those people. And now I look back and I think, how could you want to become part of something? They didn't allow you to say church. It was a temple. So I go to the temple with my cousin. I really felt out of place. You going to frisk me to come in the temple? I had to be searched, Sister Bride. I thought, how could I want to become a part of something like that? And I didn't know much about church, but I just thought, that's it. I even had their book, Message to the Black Man. Silver said, man, that's junk. You better leave me alone, woman. I was determined I was going to be a black Muslim. Couldn't you just see me down here on the corner somewhere selling papers? They didn't allow you to talk about Jesus. They wanted you to lift up Allah. Okay, all right. They wanted you to lift up Elijah Muhammad. He was a messenger. And they even used scripture for it, Brother Smith. Behold, I'll send my messenger, Elijah. He turned out later on to be a crook. I thought, man, look at what I've been following. But I'm here today. The wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. God set me free from that. We sang a song, a couple of weeks ago, talking about his wonderful love and his great care. We sang that chorus, he paid a debt. He did not owe. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owe a debt. I don't know if I'll ever see it in Oshundaria, if I could ever pay it off. But as Paul said, I'm a prisoner of his love today. Here's where I'd like to stay. I don't regret surrendering to God. It's been wonderful. I don't know what I would have done without God's help, the things I've been through, and not know God. I don't know how I would have survived. Brother Smith, there were days when I thought, when trials and tests came my way, go give me a half a pint of Southern Comfort. But I found a new comforter. I found something I can rely on. I found something I can depend on. I appreciate his loving care and that he's always there, even when I don't think he's there. He's watching me. I appreciate his loving care today, folks. I couldn't say enough about it and the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. It's my joy of my salvation today. Well, I got up to take prayer requests, special needs that we may have today to bring before the Lord. Scripture says, the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose heart is perfect toward him. Searching for those whose heart and lives are committed to him. That's the class I want to be in. Sister Linda. Sister Wilkins, okay. And a very special unspoken for Sister Linda, all right. I just remember our brother Ray Weaver and Sister Susan. I haven't seen them in a couple of weeks. Let's keep them on our hearts. Brother Fred. He and Sister Catherine Dodson need our prayers. All right, let's remember them. Sister Oates. All right, let's remember her brother. Has a job interview coming up.
Brother Daniel's brother.
Yes.
Durham, brother. Roy Durham called me. Is my mic on? He called and this morning and asked us to pray. He's got for two things. Of course, he's this Friday he'll be. Is his last day at work there, and they're going to start moving this weekend, but they're going to make a trip out to California and see his folks are getting up in age and not in good health. So they're going to move some things, but then they're going to make this trip before they move all their other things. But he's got, you know, he's worked in the public schools in Missouri for 20-something years now, and he's retiring. But you can't, in the public school system up there, he's worked in the plumbing department there, but you can't get a license through them in the plumbing. You know, in other words, you work for them, they train you, even if you're a plumber, when you get in there. Anyway, he doesn't actually have a state journeyman's license, but he's been talking to the Arkansas Board of Plumbers, and they're telling him that he may be eligible with his experience for a journeyman license here. And he's going before the board, I don't remember what day, but one day in December, he's going before the board down here with all of his experience and all the things they want him to have together for that. So he wants us to pray for that. And then also Star Distributing Company up there had a going away party for him, and he's bought parts and stuff for the school through them all these years. And one of the original partners of that sold his part of that business years ago and started a new business, and his home office is in Searcy. And just so happened that he was talking to the head man at Star about Brother Durham the other day and wanted to know what he was going to do. And he told him, he said, well, he would like to get in the public schools maintenance down here. Okay. And he said, well, tell him when he gets ready to come down here to call me. He said, I'm friends with the head man that's over that in all the in Little Rock School right. District.
All right.
He said, I'll try to help him all I can to get on. So it's kind of like in Missouri, you don't get in there unless somebody you know somebody. So he asked us really pray about that. He said it would really be a good opportunity for
all
us.
Right. So let's remember that.
Anyway, yeah. Let's remember Brother Durham.
This Roy Durham. All right. Anyone else they have a need? Okay, all right, and her children. All right, Sister Crow. Not doing good. Sister Richie, okay. Just remember her. Okay, Sister York. Your son Scotty, okay. All right. Brother Keith. Keith having some physical problems. Just Abraham. Okay, her family. All right. The ushers will get ready. We receive an offering. that's all the requests. Let's stand then and let our needs be known to our Heavenly Father that cares for us. Let's do it. We appreciate your love and care, dear Lord, at all times. There's no Savior like you. Oh, God, may the voice of the Lord speak to the hearts of his children today. Oh, God, hallelujah. He that keepeth Israel will never slumber, to never sleep. Forever abiding and watching over his children. Daily he loadeth us with his wonderful benefits. Oh, God, we serve a wonderful, compassionate God today. He had compassion on me. Yes, he did. Asking God to touch and heal his people today. Asking your blessing today upon this service for Brother Smith as he ministers to us today. We appreciate your love and care at all times, dear Lord. There's nothing like your love, nothing like your wonderful spirit, nothing like the care of God. We're in great hands today. We're in his care, oh, dear God, at all times. David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Hallelujah. We appreciate his guidance. Acknowledge him in all thy ways and he shall direct our path. He cares for us. Oh, yes, he does. He never slumbered to sleep. He's always with us, oh, God. Said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We have that hope. We have that assurance in our hearts today. The healing hand of God will touch our lives, touch our children today here in this city. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Jesus. We appreciate you, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise our God.
I'd like to stand and thank him today. I laid down it last night, and I try to do this every night, but I laid down and was, especially, you know, on service when, you know, the next day is service day. I try to think, you know, and get my mind on the Lord for sure. You know, Lord, what are you saying? And, you know, what are your thoughts for right now? You know, and he answered me, or I felt like, you know, the Holy Ghost answered me, and it was thankfulness. And then he said forgiveness. And when Sister Lynette and Sister Cindy started off our song today, I was like, okay, I know the Lord. And this is November, and everybody tends to, you know, really think about thankfulness this time of the year. But I want to focus on trying to be thankful all the time. And then I was laying there and heard forgiveness, and I thought, you know, really, am I very thankful if I'm not forgiving? If I harbor something in my heart, and the Lord was talking, you know, this is what I was feeling, and, you know, was questioning the Lord. It's like, if I harbor something in my heart to where I hold aught against somebody for some situation or whatever, am I thankful? You know, can my unforgiveness really damage or harbor my thankfulness? And I didn't have anything in particular in mind, nobody in mind. I don't harbor any thoughts here against anybody. So, you know, so far the Lord has helped me, you know, through my own struggles. And when Brother Daniels was talking about, you know, the trials and tests and the depression and everything, my dad's side of the family suffers with depression, you know, so really never struggled with it until the last couple of years helping him and mom, you know, and it's depressing, you know, at times watching your parents grow older and things change in their lives, you know, and you're thinking, oh Lord, you know, when they go off the scene, it's me and my sister. And so the Lord has been very good to me. He's given me a very faithful dad in my life. And last week in the sisters' meeting, and we were talking about no sister left behind and no child left behind, nobody left behind is really how we need to feel about it. And thankfulness just, after the meeting was over with, thankfulness just started flowing because of all the circumstances that my dad put up with and had to go through in his trials and tests with my mother. He didn't leave my sister and I behind. And then as I kept dwelling on that day after the meeting was over with, I seen where to be so much more thankful about Brother Paul, because he raised 5 boys. And every situation, every family, you have your struggles, you have your trials and your tests, you know, and I just thought he didn't leave them 5 boys behind. And it's so easy for me to focus on what, you know, might be wrong if I'm not careful, that I don't see the qualities of each individual person. And so it was just like last weekend, the Lord just kept showing me, you know, where to be thankful at, and helping me to see things. And then, like last night, it was like, you know, work on my thankfulness, but make sure that I don't keep forgiveness up there too, because it could harbor and hinder my relationship, not with just the Lord, but for everybody. And his sacrifice, you know, he paid the ultimate sacrifice for me. And would I do that for you? You know, would I do that for the Lord? Do that for you? And I just thought, Lord, please help me in my walk with you to grow stronger, to love my brother and sister more, to make my life a light that you can see. And I went back home the other day, and Dad needed to run into the grocery store, so we ran in, and this lady, when I seen her, I knew I'd seen her before, but I didn't remember who she was. Well, she come up to me and introduced herself, and I apologized and says, "I'm sorry, just, you know, years and age, I know your face, but I don't know your name." And she said, "You're Pentecostal, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "I can tell, you know," and she was talking about my dress, and she says, "Don't you feel good?" And I was standing there thinking, and I told her, I says, "Well, I hope you can see what I want to be, you know, or what I'm striving to be." I didn't want her to focus so much on my dress as that she's seen a light, you know, within my life. Of course, I hadn't seen this woman in 25 years, you know, so I may not see her for another 25 years, but I want to shine a godly light, that no matter what you see or you think, you know that I have a heart for the Lord, and that I'm thankful for everything that He's done, and that I strive daily to make sure my heart stays forgiving, and that I don't let anything harbor it, callous it, damage it, because ultimately it could destroy it if I don't keep forgiveness there. And so I want the Lord to know today that I'm thankful that He forgave me of my sins, and that I appreciate the sacrifice that He's made.
Well, I'm thankful for being here today. I get nervous when I get something on my heart and I feel like I should say it. I get nervous and I think, should I or shouldn't I? Or am I going to make a mess of it? Or will I really get things out the way I want? But and nevertheless, last night I was listening to someone speak, and they were talking about the Nazi camp Auschwitz, where the Jews were annihilated, and I forget the name of the man that they were talking about, but this man, he was, I don't know what rabbi or what he was, but anyway, he was there with the prisoners, and he would encourage them, and he would lead them in songs and stuff like that, even though they were starving. And every once in a while, a prisoner would escape, and one day this one man did escape, and that made the soldiers or whatever there, that made the people very mad. And so they said, well, 10 men will be put into this starvation chamber, you know, because of this man escaping. And maybe some of y'all heard this before, and you'd remember it better than I. But then they chose these 10 men, and to go to the starvation chamber, which was about the worst thing they could do to a prisoner. It was, they said, it was worse than being shot, killed, or whatever, you know, to go through that. But the 10 men were chosen, and then this rabbi or whatever he was, he said, "Could I please take the place of one of these men?" And so maybe not immediately, but they said yes, he could take the place, and which one would he choose? And then he chose this one man, and he went to the starvation chamber in his place. And during the time they were in this starvation chamber, you know, they would see that the men weren't screaming and fighting each other and clawing the walls like they ordinarily would have been doing, and they would hear this rabbi, I'm going to call him that because I think that's what he was, but anyway, they heard him, you know, with the prisoners, you know, singing and praying and all of this. And so one day, when they went in there, the men died until they said that this rabbi was the only one left. They said they went in there, and when they opened the door and seen him, they said that he lay with his head against the wall to one side, and he had a smile on his face. They said, and he was looking off in space like he seen something that nobody else could see. And so this man that was permitted to live in his place, he finally got out of there. And when he did, they said he lived to be 95 years old. But in all the years that he lived, they said he never let one day go by without telling somebody of the gratitude that he felt. Is it still on? That he felt, you know, for this man that gave his life for him. And so I was thinking, you know, God did this for us. God sent his son to die for us. And shouldn't we be telling the world what he's done for us? Shouldn't we be trying to save somebody, you know, because he gave his life for us? And he didn't leave us to save ourselves or to struggle by ourselves. But then sometimes there may be a younger person that we know. There may be an older person that we see them heading for destruction. We see that, you know, they're not going to make it on their own. They're not going to make it if somebody doesn't help us. And I want to be one that would do everything, even if it comes to giving my life. I want to do everything I can that every person that I can will be saved. I've had this poem for quite some time, but I came across it and I'd like to read it. It said, "The harvest and the tempest. Deep in the shadow of slumber, one night I lay on my bed and dreamed I stood on a mountain with valleys before me spread. The valleys were wide and yellow with beautiful waving grain, and a cloud hung back black in the distance, loaded with tempest and rain. Looking, I saw in the valley laborers, but oh so few. I knew that the gathering tempest would break before they were through. Oh, they were also busy bending themselves to the work. They saw the storm approaching and knew they dared not shirk. Then near to the foot of the mountain, I happened to turn my eyes, and there stood a man whose visage was brighter than the sunset skies. He spoke in such tones of sorrows, it caused my heart to bleed. Behold, how white is the harvest, with reapers so few indeed. Why are the workers not many? I thought to myself, and then I glanced about me and noticed the mountains were full of men. Men who were laughing and joking, playing some sort of game, not seeing how ripe the harvest or heeding the storm that came. Soon I could stand it no longer. Listen, I shouted again, the tempest shall soon be rushing over the beautiful grain. Why waste your time in a frolic? Look at that gathering cloud. But one of them quickly answered, you're one of this idle crowd. Then came the crash of the tempest. The rushing wind and the rain came howling over the valleys, ruining the yellow grain. Then the heavens were rocked from thunder. The lightning split the skies till we who stood on the mountain covered our poor blinded eyes. Above the crash of the tempest, the voice of the stranger broke. Behold the ruin of the harvest. This is the heathen, he spoke. The storm that so widely rages is God's great judgment day. And I woke and wept in repentance as there on my bed I laid. Calling on God in the heavens, with contrite spirit I prayed. Oh Lord, I will be a worker. Too long have I played. Because of the ripened harvest, I will give you my heart and my arm. I'll spend my strength in the valley to save the grain from the storm. I've had quite a burden for souls and people all my life, all my safe life. But here recently, I've got I've got in a rut or something, and I even lost some of the burden, and I felt so bad. I had to tell God, Lord, don't let me lose a burden. Keep the fire in my soul for people. Don't let me miss an opportunity that someone can be saved. Whatever it takes, whatever I have to give, I give willingly that the Lord can use me.
Me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the doubts. It calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never